Good morning and a happy Sabbath to all. Again, we get correction. Afternoon. But we are here. We are here, and that is good. My sermonette, tested by your God. And the SBS, that God may elevate and perfect us. Now, this is something you've heard me say very many times, that this life is a test. God brought us here. He's testing us. And he's doing so constantly. Thank you, Charlie. And for our good. You seem to have a little problem. Okay. Now, you've heard me mention many times that the life man lives is just a test. It's one of my great beliefs. It's one of the gifts of God, which I greatly appreciate. In 1 Peter 4:17, it states that judgment begins in the house of God. And in what better place can it begin? In what better place? God is bringing about a society, a world, not even a world, but a way of life that would be one that no man has ever seen or known. The Apostle Paul tried to give us a little hint when he said that we cannot even begin to imagine what God has in store for us. It is so tremendous. Let's read that whole scripture, 1 Peter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. And it says, "For the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what shall be the end of them that do not obey the gospel?" We know the gospel. We study the gospel and we try to understand and follow and obey everything that God tells us and commands us to do. And the scripture is saying that there are some who don't follow that, who don't try, some who don't even know how important it is and where it is all leading. When we're invited to a place of importance, not even importance, I mean, it might be any place that we're invited. Those who invite you are good enough to ask you to come in. When we go to such a place, we want to know that we are prepared, we are ready. We don't want to go somewhere and act wrongly. We don't want to go there and do the wrong thing and look stupid or look like we don't know what's happening. So what do? We prepare, we plan, and we say, okay, I believe this is what the host likes. I'll try to do it this way. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So, you need to find out a little something about where you're going and what it's all about. And do your best to do the right thing and be a good invitee. You cannot call on someone that you do not know. You cannot believe in someone you have not heard of. And you cannot know unless someone teaches you. And this is what God is doing. He instructs us by teachers, by the written word, by the Holy Spirit. The teachers being the ministers and the servants that he has sent us to help us in this way, to explain the Gospels to us, tell us what it means, and to live in the way that he has said. And then he gives us an occasional test so that we can know how we're doing. Not that he can know, because he already knows. He has known for a long time. But he wants us to know. When we are doing the wrong thing, when we are messing up, sometimes it's innocent. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. And God stands for what is right. And when you know that you're being judged, judgment begins in the house of God. It begins with the people God has called at this time. So we have to be extra careful. God created man. We know he did. The scripture tells us. We believe the scripture. And we ask ourselves, well, God did this. He gave us a world to live in. And the world at the time that God made it was a beautiful garden with everything just fine. It was messed up by who? Well, by the evil one and by man. Because man followed the wrong way. And God will not allow man to be spirit if he does not have the intentions of doing the right thing and living in the way that God is planning for this society to be. Remember, we're going to be having a society that we have never, we can't even imagine. It has never existed, and this is what God is bringing about. So he's not going to allow man to become spirit and do what he likes and go the wrong way, and then the war will never end. There'll always be those who will be fighting against God. So should man be thankful that God has given us this life? And we know how this life is full of pains and sorrows and trouble, and we are always hurting. We feel the pain, and we ask, wow, is it really worth it? But again, the apostle says that, the apostle Paul, he says that we can't even imagine what we're going through is like nothing compared to the reward that we will get at the end. And if we can do what we have been commanded to do without looking to the reward, you know, that this is what I'm looking for, I'm doing it because of this reason. If we can do it without that, do it because we love God, we know God's way is right, and we want that way, we want to go that way. If we can do it with that frame of mind, then the reward would be even greater. God does nothing without good reason. So there's a reason why he made man, and God wanted man to be his children. This is what the scriptures tell us, and it is such a great honor. God wanted man, which he made from the dust of the ground, to be his children. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, Isaiah 43 and 7, Ephesians 3, verses 9 and 10, proves this to us if we believe the scriptures. It proves that God made us to be his own children. Romans 6, 22 tells us that he elevates us from human to spirit. Great blessing. John 17, 1 through 26 tells us, it explains in detail that he's grooming us at this time to fill that position. His testing is necessary for our growth and our learning. If we don't get the testing, we become lax. And we do not do the things that he commanded, which shall bring about the society that God is preparing for us. He's preparing it for us. Sometimes we feel the pains, we feel the worries, and we just, some people would say, well, why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this? Why can't God allow me to you know, just to rest sometimes? And isn't that similar to what Job was saying at one point? Job was saying, you're not even giving me a chance to swallow my saliva. He didn't say it in disrespect, but he said it because he truly believed that that's what God was doing. I have a couple examples to give to you of God's testing. Remember the prophet Jonah. I wouldn't go into the story, but I'll just scan it here. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. Nineveh was a city that was, they were in bad shape. People were totally offline. They were doing whatever they wanted to do, and they had no thought for God. God said, Jonah, you go to Nineveh. You tell them what I shall tell you to tell them, and see if they will repent and turn around. Instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah had his own idea. God was too nice. God was so good. Why is God worrying with these people? These people are so bad. Jonah went to Tarshish. He went to Tarshish. He complained about God's mercy. Eventually, he removed himself. He removed himself from the scene after he had gone to Nineveh, delivered the message, and 120,000 people repented and turned to God. Jonah removed himself from the scene, and he went and sat under a gourd tree, which the Lord had allowed to come up overnight, to shade himself from the sun, and complaining like a child. Why did God do this? Why did God do this? God should not have allowed these bad people to come. At the end, God in his mercy, He not only taught compassion to the people of Nineveh, who had taken the message and had repented and turned to God, but he also had mercy on Jonah. And he asked him one word. I think many people think that Jonah, the story left us up in air. We don't know what Jonah did at the end, whether he repented himself, but I believe he did. And I think that the one question God asked him at the end, he said, Jonah, you make such a fuss over a gourd tree that came up overnight and died the very next day, and you don't consider the lives of 120,000 people who repented and were saved? I think that question must have gone into Jonah's head, and he must have thought of it, and I believe that Jonah repented and turned around. Let's think about Joseph, the husband of Mary, our Lord's mother. Joseph, a young Jewish boy, a young Jewish man, he's engaged to a young lady. He's getting ready to be married, and he finds this lady is pregnant. She's not having my child. What is happening here? Yet he was righteous to a great extent, and he said, well, okay, I wouldn't shame her. I wouldn't bring it to the people, but I'll just divorce her quietly. No one will know. And then the Lord realized that Joseph had passed that test. We don't know if Jonah passed, but we know that the Lord realized Joseph had passed that test because Joseph was willing to not say, you know, it's my right to do such and such, and Mary should be punished in this or that way. He didn't do that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he knew in his heart that she was just and she was special, and she was called by the Lord to do what was happening. And Joseph did what the Lord said. He married her, took care of her child and the children that followed. Hezekiah, king of Judah, he was visited by the prophet Isaiah to notify him that, Hezekiah, your days are numbered. You shall die. He was sick on his bed, and the Lord said, you shall die. And Hezekiah, who was a good king, he had done many good things in the name of the Lord. He was a good king. And he, instead of getting angry, he wept, of course, because it was a very hard thing to take. Your death is coming. And he turned his face to the wall, as the scripture says, and he wept bitterly. And he said, Lord, you know me. You know I've always done the right thing. I've always done what you told me. And at this time, am I to die? Please, have mercy. Let me live a little more. And before Isaiah had gotten to the bottom of the stairs, he had left the house. Before he got to the bottom of the stairs, the Lord said, go back and tell Hezekiah that he shall live. I shall add 15 years to his life. And Hezekiah passed the test. Because he wasn't blaming God or saying, this is not what I deserve. He said, please, Lord, give me a little more time. Brethren, in closing, let us go to one scripture, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, and we'll read verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter 4. And the scripture says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We feel the pains. We know they are there. Because we're human, it hurts. But we know that they're not useless. We get in those pains for a reason, and we have to bear them if we want to be a part of God's great kingdom. God is elevating and perfecting us by giving us those pains. And let us be happy if we can. And we can be. Let us be happy to know that this is what God is doing in our lives.